Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Keep your Bibles out, we're going to use them. I want to continue teaching tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to look at one verse there, and then we'll look at one other verse in the book of Galatians, and then we're going to start. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse number 31. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 31. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Now, Galatians chapter 2, just a few pages over. Galatians chapter 2, right after the book of 2 Corinthians. Look at verse number 20, pretty famous verse. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, tonight I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit and our schedule. The Holy Spirit and our schedule, and I think this will make sense to you. I'm just going to jump right into it. You cannot die physically every day. Obviously, you can only die physically once. Okay? Some people got a second shot at it, but they still died again. All right? Jesus resurrected Lazarus and a few other people, and a couple folks in the Old Testament died and were brought back to life, but guess what? They died again.
Yes, sir.
They are not still alive. Now, life is not a video game that when you die, you just start over. Too many people live in this cyber world or virtual world. They lose their life on a game and, well, we can do it again. And then you wonder why young people and people are taking their lives via video gaming and different things and social media. To them, it's just another life. Here we go. We only have one shot at life here. And one for eternity. That's it. In other words, we ought to want to get the most out of every day that we live. Now, I'm going to teach you a philosophy for a second by which I live. I learned it many, 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 many decades ago, and I think I can help you. And this will, I get a lot out of life. I live a lot of life. I'll be 52 years old next month, but I've lived a lot more than most people my age, just because I got a hold of this. I try to think of each day as a life within itself. Every day is a new life. Every day has a life, a death, and a resurrection. You resurrect when you get up in the morning. Then you live, and then you go to sleep at night and die, or your wife kills you. We have the youth of the morning, we have the midlife of afternoon, and we have the senior years of evening, and you have the death of life, of sleep. In other words, that means each morning is resurrection. In other words, every day can be a life of its own. Can I tell you the people that rob themselves of living? It's the people that live regretting yesterday. They didn't make today a new life. Standing there talking to some of the workers today, and our contractor said, Pastor, he said, people just need to learn how to start living today. And I started laughing. And Bob was standing there. Brother Bob looked at him and said, did you listen to preacher's sermon? He said, what do you mean? I said, Brother Jimmy, I said, I preached on that just a week or two ago. Preached a whole sermon on today. I stood there for about 2 minutes and told him. He said, that's it right there. He said, Bob, you listen to him. And he wasn't preaching to him. There's other guys there. But can I tell you something? Learning to live each day as its own life. That means if I made mistakes yesterday, guess what? They're dead and buried. I got a new day today. And the mistakes I made today, guess what? In about 4, 5, 6 hours, they'll be dead and buried, slobbered on, you name it. We'll resurrect and try again tomorrow. You see, each day can be a life in itself. Turn to Psalm 17. Psalm 17, I want you to see a verse here. It's just sweet and precious to me. Psalm 17, look at verse number 15. Psalm 17, 15, the Bible says this: "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness." In other words, our goal ought to be to live like Christ every day. But notice it says, "I shall be satisfied when I awake." Every day we ought to be working at being more like the Christian God wants us to be. But guess what? If you mess up today, there's a new day tomorrow. It's a new life. And if you messed up tomorrow, guess what? The next day, there's a new life. But we ought to work diligently at awakening every day in the likeness of Christ. Now, no nail prints. None of us will be perfect. But there is a will called the Word of God that He's given us. And the closer to it we live, the better that we can live each day as Christ wants us to. Now, 1 Corinthians 14:40, the Bible says, "Let everything be done decently. Let all things be done decently and in order." That's an important verse. Let all things. It didn't say let all spiritual things. It didn't say all Christian things. It said let all things be done decently and in order. I believe that we ought to do our personal business decently and in order. This is taboo. I think your checkbook register ought to be decently and in order. I think the church records ought to be decent and in order. If I kick the bucket, somebody ought to be able to walk in here and make heads or tails of what's going on. Same thing should take place in your home. I think where you work, your workstation or your desk, or look at mine, ought to be decently and in order. Brother Hiles used to say, "A clean desk is a sign of a person that doesn't do anything." And there's a part of that is true. I didn't say they didn't have stuff on it. But it ought to be decent and in order. The word orderly literally means scheduled. If you look up the word order or orderly, it means to schedule or in a scheduled manner. Done in a certain order. This means, and hang on here, we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That means things that are done for the Holy Spirit ought to be done orderly or decently and in order. And I think there are some things that you can glean from this so that every day can be a new creation. We're not going to take time to turn there, but if you went to Genesis chapter 1, you find out God completed everything each day. Then he said, you know, he divided the light from darkness, and then he made the sun, the moon, the stars, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Then he went to the second day. He made dry land and made the land to appear as it is. And then he said the evening and the morning are of the second day. In other words, there was a new life. There was a new creation. And each and every day of creation was much the same. When you get to Genesis chapter 3, verse number 8, after Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says that God came to the garden in the cool of the day and man missed his daily appointment. Now, the last part of that's not a quote. But it does teach us that God and Adam walked every day at the same time together in Eden, so that God and Adam had time to work out what Adam needed for his job here on earth. He had to name the animals. He had to draw pictures of them. He had to categorize them. He had to have pictures of the male and the female because they were different, contrary to what people think today. it just amazes me at all the work that was needing done just to name the animals. God was teaching him which plants were good to eat, which ones were not good to eat. Don't eat the poison ivy. Get an itchy throat. Anyway, there was so much, and God was helping Adam put order to this. Now, everything that God put in order is still working. Did you know that the evening and the morning are still today? You know, we can predict what time the sun will be up and what time it'll go down and what time the moon will be up and what time it'll go down, what phase the moon's in. Do you know the tides are very predictable to the very minute? We know where certain stars are placed at certain times of the year based on the fact that what God put together, it's still functioning just like He put it together. In other words, everything that God did has been done by order and it's still working. Now, let me give you six or eight things here. I'll run through them quickly. I have seven things here. Number one, success is scheduled or orderly. For you to live each day successfully, you have to live today successfully. That means you have to schedule successfully. It matters not what you want to succeed in. But it's not going to happen by accident. Did you know success is not sustained accidentally? You may discover it accidentally, but it didn't become successful accidentally. When Ray Kroc started a hamburger joint in Southern California and things started going pretty good, all of a sudden, he discovered something that America needed, so he started franchising it. He didn't fall into the franchising by accident. He found success for hamburgers quickly, that it was a good market, good way to make a living. But franchising it and him becoming a multi-billionaire because of it, that came on purpose and by schedule. You see, success works today. It learns from yesterday, and it plans for tomorrow. But success has to work today. You want to be successful at work? Show up today. You want to be successful at school? Show up today. You want to be successful at whatever endeavor you do? Be there today. Success sees today as its own day of life. Did you know that there are certain businesses, if you're not there, they go out of business? There's a business that was in this building, started up. Guy spent 4 or 5 months trying to get a room ready. They opened for about 6 weeks, and then they shut down. Say why? Because he didn't know how to start a business. I offered to help him a little. He didn't want my help. That's okay. Guess what? Success doesn't come easy. I talked to another man, wanted to start a business. I told him, I don't think you're in the market for starting a business. You don't have the makeup for it. Well, for the last year and a half, he's tried to start a business and blames everybody, blames Facebook, blames this, blames that, blames racism, blames this. And I mean, we're talking, this guy's really, I said, dude, I told you, just go find somebody that'll give you a paycheck and start working. In other words, success is planned each day. It doesn't have to adjust since each day is its own life. I don't have to adjust the church plan because we plan it daily. Does that make sense to everybody? The plan's right here. But we wake up and plan today. And we know what the general tenure of things are. And we put the schedule together to work such that way. Now, in other words, Success is planned each day. It doesn't have to adjust each day because each day is its own life. Don't get so frustrated at work. Just go today. And when you walk away from it. It's that simple. To be a Spirit-filled Christian, there are some things that need done decently in order or by schedule so that you can be a successful Christian. I'm going to take this and put it to the Christian world. You can put it in the work world, sports world. You can put it in financial. You can put it in any area of life you want to put it in. But number two, set a time or times daily to yield to the Holy Spirit. I think you ought to do it several times a day. I can tell you three convenient times: breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Most of you don't miss any of those. Before you poke the food in the pie hole, how about you stop and yield to the Holy Spirit? Brother Hiles used to do it seven times a day. He would do it when he got up. He would do it before he ate breakfast. He would do it mid-morning. He would do it at lunch. He would do it mid-afternoon. He would do it before the evening meal. He would do it before he went to bed that evening. He would do it seven times a day. I'm not telling you when or how many times to do it, but I think you need to consciously stop, bow your head, and say, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. You see, I think it ought to be several times a day. It should be at the same time every day. I knew a pastor who wore one of those digital watches that beeped every hour. You know, that little beep, beep. Every time he heard that, it was a reminder that he was supposed to yield to the Holy Spirit to him. So however many hours a day he was awake, he would stop every hour on the hour, unless he was preaching, and do that. I don't care what method you use. It doesn't matter to me. But I do know that you should do it. Set an alarm if you have to. Most of you all have alarms on your stupid cell phones. You set them for everything else. Why not set it for something spiritual? Everybody doing okay? And I'm saying literally, bow your head. Now, if you're driving, don't do it then, please. All right? But literally stop as if you are praying and say, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. I yield to do what you want me to do. Last thing I say before I walk through that door at every service, I stand out there at the top of the steps. Everybody got pushed in the door. I'm kicking everybody to get out of the way. And the last thing I say is, Holy Spirit, here we go. I need you. I yield to you. Don't let me blow it. They need you. They don't need me, but they need you. Help me. See, that alone right there would change your life. I promise you. Number three. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you cross the path of someone that he wants you to help today. You could do it at the same time that you yield to the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you something? Almost every day of my life, I really feel like I get to cross the path of someone who needs help. I did not do this on purpose, but it happened today. I did ask on purpose today. But at 6:30 this morning, when I was sitting at my desk and I yielded to the Holy Spirit, I said, "Now, and Lord, help me cross the path of somebody that needs you today." 15 minutes later, I walked out and talked to the lawyer next door. At about 9:15 or so, 9:15, when I was out at the property, one of the workers walked up and said, "Pastor, could you pray for me? I've got this need." I said, "Be glad to." I was having a good day, especially because the fire alarm people left me alone. Can I tell you something? If while you say, Holy Spirit, I yield to you, and you might say, could you help me cross the path of somebody to help today? Yeah, if you helped somebody every day of your life, how much more joy you'd have in life. You see, if you help someone else, you'll have more joy because you're not focused on everything you want to do and you're giving somebody else what they need. By the way, it'll ensure that you don't live such a self-centered, selfish life. So many of us are so selfish. Get. Who's going to do that for me? That's not a spiritual attitude. Love isn't to be gotten, it's to be given. If your mentality is, well, I did it and nobody did it for me, guess what? You haven't reached spirituality yet. Man, it's just fun. I used to hear Brother Hiles. He traveled every Monday and Tuesday of the world, just about. Almost 9 million miles flying. Unbelievable. And pastoring churches. He used to go to O'Hare Field, and he'd pack his pockets full of change. And this is back before cell phones. And he would go to the row of pay telephones. And he'd just put handfuls of change in that little change area where your change would come out. And he'd just walk around the corner and watch people. He said they'd be sitting there talking, and they'd put the finger in there. He said it's like they won the slot machine, you know? They're looking for that, for more in there. He said it's fun just to watch people get something when they weren't expecting it. You see, when you live that way, life can be fun. It really can. Number four, I got to hurry here. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you prioritize each part of the day as you schedule it. I meet with Mrs. Barnes almost every day that we're here in the office. When we hire staff, I'll have a daily staff meeting, daily prayer time and staff meeting. Say why? Because that's when you plan your day. Can we ask long-range goals? Yes, but let's get today scheduled. What are we doing today? What's got to be done today? And what order are we going to do it? I know about what time she gets here. Before she gets here, I say, Lord, we're going to plan the day in just a little bit. Help me. I got a list of things. I have no idea how many things she's got. Help us to put these in the right order and get them done. Whatever doesn't get done today, moves to the list tomorrow. It's not if they don't get all done, it's what doesn't get done. You see, have an idea of what all needs done, but then ask the Holy Spirit, what order should we put these in? When's the last time? Some of you run around like a chicken with your head cut off. Did y'all ever see one of those? It's kind of funny. It really is. You see this thing running around with no head, just going, wings are flapping, and yeah, it's pretty neat. Now, say, how do you know? Never mind. But you ought to have an idea of what all needs done, but when's the last time you showed up to work 10 minutes early, bowed your head and said, Holy Spirit, here's everything that needs done today. Help me find out which order I should do this. Holy Spirit, guide me. And then you just start putting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and just put them in the order and do them in that order. You see, I not only ask the Holy Spirit to help me know what needs done, I ask him what order it needs done in. Now, listen to this very carefully. Then I don't let little things or things that I want to do affect my schedule. This is where most people get in trouble. They've got 10 things to do. They get through the first three, buddy, they're happy. They want to go reward themselves, so they're going to go take a 3-hour coffee break. The coffee break is a little thing you don't need. You need to start on number 4, not coffee break, or McDonald's break, or Sheets break, or whatever break. You need to get through the list. When you're through the list, that's when you take the break. Everybody doing okay? Usually little things, not big things, clamor for your time. It's rare that the boss clamors for your time. It's all the little minions that clamor for your time. It's your coworker that needs you to help them do this, and it's this person that wants you to help you do that. And it's you wanting to do that, and you wanting to do that, and you wanting to do that, rather than doing what you're supposed to do. It's the little things that eat you up, not the big things. Everybody doing okay? Did you know you don't have to answer every text that comes to your phone when it comes? I know that's a shock to your system. Okay, I'm going to make a statement. It's not politically correct, but add it to the list. Do not think that the Holy Spirit has ADD. He has the day to work with, and he wants to help you get the most out of it. The Holy Spirit doesn't get you through life saying, oh, there's something pretty, go after that. Oh, there's something, go after that. And, oh, you can forget that. No, go after that. No, go after that. Most of you think the Holy Spirit's got ADD because of the way you float around. You're like one of my kids had asthma when he's on steroids. You're like a BB in a steel room, man. Come down and land, dude. All right? Just calm down a little bit here. Yeah, so many people, oh, did you feel it? It must have been the Spirit guiding me. No, it wasn't the Spirit guiding you. This one fellow wanting to start a business. God told me I'm supposed to do that, this. What do you think? I said, book, chapter, and verse. He said, what do you mean? I said, God can't work outside the Word of God. Show me what book and what chapter and what verse in the Bible he told you that from. Well, I just know God wants me to. I said, okay, then you know God better than I do. Because I know he doesn't talk to me outside the Word of God because he can't work outside his Word. Everybody doing okay? But we see this and we want that. We see this, we want to do that. We see that, we want. And we wonder why we get frustrated because the list, nothing ever gets done. Everybody doing okay? I got to hurry. It's number five. Spend 15 to 30 minutes a day minimum in the Bible. Spend 15 to 30 minutes a day in the Bible minimum. 15 minutes, preacher. Yeah. The Holy Spirit cannot, the Holy Spirit will not work outside of his Word. He can't work in your life if you have none of his Word in you. I don't know how else to say that. I tried real hard to make that softer. But it's a hard fastball no matter what you say about it. The more the Bible you know, the more freedom the Holy Spirit has to bring it to memory and help you as you go through your day. Ask the Holy Spirit as you read to help you understand what you need today. Okay, do not get mad at the preacher. I believe everybody ought to read that book every day. Yes, sir. I think sometime in your life, you ought to read it Genesis to Revelation all the way through once. But the preacher doesn't read his Bible through Genesis to Revelation every year. In order. I average 3 times a year reading through my Bible. That's not my study, that's my reading. I read what I need today. If I'm feeling down or discouraged, I'm definitely not going to go read Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. I'm not going to go, if I'm upset, I'm not going to go read Ezekiel. I'm not going to read Jonah, where God's ready to kill him. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Because, man, all that does make me mad. There are certain... So I read the Bible based on what I need at the time. Everybody understand that? Well, I just flipped it open and God said, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Bless God, God put me in the palm of his hand. Yeah. And the next verse talks about him ready to kill somebody else. What you saw is great, but can I tell you, just flipping and reading isn't always what, well, God spoke to me. No, he didn't. You let your thumbs do the working. Spend 15 to 30 minutes every day in the Bible. It will change your life. Number six. Aren't you glad there's only two left? I have 4 minutes. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you as you do each task on your schedule then. Not only did you yield to him, not only did you ask him that you could help somebody, Not only did you ask him to hang on here, cross the path of someone who you should cross, but you also have asked him to help you schedule the day. Then you spent time in the Bible. Then you help him at each task. Brother Donnie, can you go ahead and shut that for me real quick? Ask the Holy Spirit to help you as you do each task on your list. If you had 10 things on your list, when you get to number one, say, Holy Spirit, now help me get this and get this done and done right. And when you get done with that, you go to task two and say, okay, Holy Spirit, I need your help with this. And when you get to task three, you say, Holy Spirit, I need your help with this. Not only did you ask him what order to put it in, but as you're doing it, you're asking for his help to get things done. You see, he already gave you the order of priority. Why would he not want to help you as you're doing it in the order he wants you doing it in? Listen to this statement. The Holy Spirit wants to be wanted by you. You know, God doesn't force himself on anybody. God wants to be wanted. I remember in a staff meeting once, it was a Saturday men's staff meeting with Brother Hiles. And I asked him a question. I said, Preacher, how would you do thus and so? And he said, well, Brother Bush, he said, I would suggest, he said, I'm an old man. He said, if I were you, I would suggest that you do it this way. I said, that's not what I asked you. He said, what do you mean? I said, how would you do it? He said, oh, I'm old and set in my ways. You don't. I said, Preacher, how would you do it? He said, I don't expect you to do it the way I would do it. I said, I didn't ask that. I asked, how would you do it if you were doing it? And he said, on the fourth time, I would do it this way. I ended up doing it the way he would do it. I wanted to do it the way he would do it. He later came to me and said, Brother Bush, why did you do it that way? I said, because I want to do it the way you do it. He said, well, I don't want to force myself on anybody. I said, I know, but I had to force it out of you to find out how you would do it. He said, not many people will dig that deep. He said, you're doing good. Not many people will dig that deep. Can I tell you something? How'd you like to learn from the Holy Spirit how he wants it done? He wants to be wanted. If you're shopping, ask him to help you find good deals. The ones that are on your list, not the additional ones. If you're at work, ask him to help produce more so that you can make more money for your boss. I said more money for your boss, not more money for you. The more money you make for your boss, the more potential money there is for you. Too many people want to make more money for themselves and they forget about their boss. He's the one paying the bills. Everybody doing okay? If you're at school, ask him how to help you learn and recall. John chapter 14, verse 26. Talk to him as you talk to your friend. He wants to be a part of every part of your life. Then, number seven, last part. This is where we're going to use our Bibles for about 5 minutes. You ready? We're going to turn to quite a few verses here. Let me show you the personality of the Holy Spirit. Did you know the Holy Spirit has a personality like you and I do? Let me show you something. Turn your Bible to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Look at verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit has a mind, and he can renew your mind. That word renew is the word virtually resurrect. He can resurrect your mind every day. How does he do it? By the word of God. How does he do that? By the Spirit of God. So remember that the Holy Spirit has these human qualities. He has a mind. Look at Isaiah chapter 63. Did you know that the Holy Spirit can be angered? Isaiah chapter 63. And I'm going to fly through these because I don't want to keep you late. But they rebelled and vexed the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. How would you like to have the Holy Spirit ticked off at you and fight against you? Isaiah 63, verse number 10. In other words, don't tick him off. The Holy Spirit can get angry. I got a little ticked off at that Methodist bubba in my own building, standing in my auditorium bragging about being a Methodist. The Holy Spirit vexed him. I took it into my own lips to do it, but it was great. Okay? The Holy Spirit can be vexed. He can be angered. There are some things that we ought to get angry at. I get angry at the modernism of Christianity today. I get angry at, I shouldn't say it. I get angry at churches that cancel church on Resurrection Day, thinking it's better to have family time. Drop dead, folks. I don't care if Christmas, Easter, any other holiday, Martin Luther King Day falls on it, we're having church. Period. End of discussion. We're going to have, it's about the resurrected Savior, so let's take church off. Where is the sense in that?
Right.
Ephesians chapter 4, I got to hurry or I'm going to stay on point one there. I have a list on that one. Ephesians chapter 40, it's not written down, so the Holy Spirit didn't put it there. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit. Oh, in other words, he can be grieved. Say, how? Whereby you are sealed into the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. In other words, verse 31 is what grieves the Holy Spirit. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. Those five things are what grieve the Holy Spirit. You harbor bitterness. You get angry at something at which you should not be angry at, with malice, clamor. That means you're vying for everybody's attention. You do stuff just so people will notice you. Evil speaking. That's called gossip. Roll your tongue back in your head and just shut up. Etc., etc. So those are the things that grieve the Holy Spirit. Turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, look at verse number 30. Romans chapter 15, verse number 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit knows how to love. That you strive together with me, with your prayers to God for me. In other words, the Holy Spirit knows how to love. When's the last time you told him you loved him? Romans chapter 8, verse number 27. Just back a couple pages. Romans 8, 27. Bible says, and he searcheth the hearts, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Did you know that the Holy Spirit knows what the will of God is? I deal with people almost every week. Preacher, what's the will of God? Let's find out what the Bible says and yield to the Holy Spirit and let him tell us. Because the Holy Spirit knows what the will of God is. Everybody doing okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, just a few pages over. This is one of my favorite things right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit knows what God wants. I know my wife. We've been married almost 30 years. I know what she likes. I know what she doesn't like. Every once in a while, somebody say, preacher, do you think your wife would like thus and so? Say, why? Because I know her. The Holy Spirit knows God. He is God. If you'd like to know what God likes, ask the Holy Spirit. How'd you like to get God what he likes? One last thing, John chapter 14, and there's others, but this is all we have time for. John chapter 14, look at verse number 26. Thank God for this verse this week. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and shall bring all things to your remembrance, and shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. In other words, the Holy Spirit can teach, and he can bring to remembrance what he has taught you. Oh, my soul, there are so many details going on right now, it's not even funny. I can't tell you how many times I've been on the building site out at the church property and said, the problem come up. Without bowing my head and without getting on my knees out in the middle of the dirt, oh, God! I just quietly said, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me remember. I'll say, didn't we talk about thus and so? Oh, yeah. We were supposed to. Got it. I'm thinking, where in the world did that come from? Oh, preacher, you're so smart. Holy Spirit is. Now, I put it in, but I needed him to pull it out really fast. My mind is very cluttered at the moment. It's got so much going on. I've got to slow it down so that I can not run over everybody. If I'm not careful, I'll just bull my way through everybody, everything, and nobody will be left. But I'll have it done. Not how it works. So I need him to help me recall all those things. I've got to quit. Every day of life is a life of its own. Yesterday's past can't be lived over. You get the most out of each day if you'll treat each day as its own life. And if you'll use the Holy Spirit to help you schedule each day, prioritize each day, get through each point of each day, and what we taught tonight, I hate to tell you this, he'll change your life from every part, from the planning to the execution of. So go home, die. Resurrect in the morning and let's start all over, amen? Yeah, I don't want to preach a bunch of funerals tomorrow. But we can die to today when we lie down tonight. We'll resurrect in the morning. And believe me, the way the last couple weeks have been, it is a full resurrection. Sometimes I wonder. But you get up and you stumble to the shower and put your head under the water and... Okay, there is life after death. Here we go again. And yet, each day is its own life. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. It's honestly something very simple. So simple, we pass by it. But I wonder, somebody say, preacher, somewhere inside, that's what I needed tonight. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, many, many, many hands. Let me put them down. It's